We go out to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, joined by Cleveland.com's Dan Lobby. Dan, how's it going, man?
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for taking a couple minutes, man. Was it refreshing being at the Combine, not worrying about quarterbacks this past week?
It was really strange, actually. I talked to one of the other reporters that was out there, and I said, you know, this is kind of boring sometimes when your team isn't the center of attention, and you don't have to rush around on quarterback day to hear from every quarterback and write what they have to say. It was sort of a nice, calm event to cover this year.
Well, you did hang around John Dorsey, and Dorsey had a couple comments in the sidebar session that I thought was really interesting. Talking about just having a foundation and maybe not worried about this year as opposed to years down the road. But, Dan, to me, the actions don't match up with the words. And when you sign Kareem Hunt, and I know you can have him for more than 1 year, I feel like they're in a win-now mode. Do you see it that way as well?
Yeah, I agree with you. And when he said that, I kind of thought he was just trying to pump the brakes a little bit on all the hype that had been put out there. And of course, you know, we've heard Freddie Kitchens has really embraced that excitement and those expectations. Baker Mayfield has done the same. So I think John Dorsey was more just kind of pumping the brakes a little bit and reminding everyone that, you know, maybe this team might not be completely ready to make that huge leap next year. But I do think they are all in. And you said it. When you go out and you take a chance on Kareem Hunt, when you already have Nick Chubb and Duke Johnson in the backfield, that's a clear sign that you want to start winning and start winning quickly. You know, quarterbacks on rookie deals have changed the way teams attack early on in their young quarterbacks' careers. And I think the Browns are going to follow that model.
Dan, you got an article up on Cleveland.com about DK Metcalf. Did you actually figure out his lineage? Did you find out? Is he really related to Eric, or is it something that we just made up out of thin air?
You know, it's still such a complicated thing. He said that Eric is his cousin. So I guess we're going to roll with that for now. But this is something that is just constantly changing as we go.
I wonder if it's because I think. Wasn't he quoted, I believe, in your actual article that you said something along the lines of, like, they're cousins, but they haven't actually met? Is that, how does that even happen? Or is that one of those things where you just have a big enough family, I guess you just kind of put it together after the fact?
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, that's what he said at the Combine, that Eric and Terry are his cousins, but he doesn't really have a relationship with anyone. His dad does have a relationship with them. So it's a really bizarre thing, and if for some unlikely reason he ended up coming to the Browns, it would just make this whole thing become even more bizarre.
All right, do you buy into the 1.6% body fat? I know you do a lot with your running and the marathons, and I know you're very physically fit. Did you buy the 1.6%?
I don't know. That seems awfully low. In fact, you know, just kind of listening to his quote, I'm not sure if he even bought that 1.6%. He seemed a little surprised when he saw that number.
If I looked like that, Dan, I would just never wear a shirt. It could be 25 yeah. degrees outside, and I would be walking around just shirtless, just kind of making my way through town.
No, and I mean, the Browns already had, like, Myles Garrett always walks around without a shirt on. I mean, I don't blame these guys. I wouldn't even own a shirt.
Joined by Dan Lobby here on 92.3 The Fan. All right, Dan, after going through the week that you did, do you have any inclination one way or another positionally which way the Browns are leaning at 17?
I still think this is headed towards them taking a defensive lineman and someone on the interior. And, you know, it's still really early in the process, and I know that this is kind of when coaching staff start to really familiarize themselves with these players. But I really think this is heading towards the defensive lineman. I think there's going to be enough guys to choose from. Look, if DK Metcalf were to start to slide and suddenly he's sitting there at number 17, I think John Dorsey would have to consider taking him based on what we saw. But I think his stock raised a ton this week, and he might not even be there at 17. So barring someone sliding dramatically, I think interior lineman is still kind of the way to look.
What kind of week did Freddie Kitchens have? Was the buzz around him positive, or was it one of those, like, okay, it's just a new first-year head coach at the Combine trying to make his way through?
I think he had a pretty good week. You know, this was kind of his first chance to stand up there at the podium at the Combine and be the face of the Browns, and I thought he handled that well. And I think there is some excitement about that Freddie Kitchens and Baker Mayfield pairing to see what they can do and to see if the Browns really did find their right coach. You know, it's a little strange that you know, they might have just stumbled upon their next head coach and this kind of hot coaching name like they did. And, you know, maybe the Browns deserve that kind of break. But I do think there is some intrigue about what Kitchens can do with a full year with Mayfield.
Now, Dan, I'm going to take you there. I'm going to take you to the quarterback discussion, mainly because I think Dwayne Haskins might still be running his 40 time. We have to check and see if he got clocked or not yet. But Kyler Murray seems like he's really separated himself. There was also talk about him being a diva, though, too. Do you feel like this week helped or hurt Kyler?
You know, I think it's – honestly, I think it's kind of neutral for him because he didn't work out. He didn't put up any eye-popping fingers or anything for anybody like, gosh, you have to take this guy. You know, he handled his availability well, which sometimes doesn't matter for guys, but after what we saw during Super Bowl week when he was on the Dan Patrick show, I think it was important for him to at least answer questions and you know, not just kind of stare off into the distance and when he's supposed to be responding. So I think Kyler Murray, it's kind of neutral. There's obviously a lot of buzz out there from national reporters about maybe Arizona's going to take him number one overall. But I think the real buzz about him is going to start when we get to his pro day and he really starts working out and putting up, you know, potentially ridiculous numbers for a quarterback.
Now, how much of the combine did you watch? Did you go and see some of the 40-yard dashes? Did you do any of the bench press, or did you just kind of stay away and do all the interview stuff?
Yeah, you know, I think that's actually one of the misconceptions about covering the event. We're there at the convention center for, you know, every GM interview, every coach interview. When they bring the players through, we're there for all of that. But we actually don't go into the stadium to watch the combine. There's a select few writers who kind of get chosen to go in there. But for the most part, we don't get to go in and actually watch the event. We're sitting in the media room or downstairs in the press conference room watching on TV like everybody else is. So I think that's one of the misconceptions when it comes to how this event is covered.
Is that why? Is that boring? I don't even know. I honestly, I did not know that. I've never been to a combine. I've never covered it. I've never done anything like that. Is that just, all right, we're doing the interviews that we've done before with Dorsey and Kitchens, and now we're waiting to hear other, you know, prospects talk?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it can get a little bit boring. And then, you know, of course, the highlights are when you wander around downtown Indianapolis at night trying to find and bump into whoever you can along the way. And, you know, that's really when a lot of the real work gets done. And but, yeah, when it comes to the actual workouts and things like that, it's kind of strange. I think people think we're sitting right there watching and have our stopwatches out.
I'm just picturing you with a stopwatch just sitting at the five. You're like, yep, got that 4.33 as well from Metcalf. Good job by him. Right, who was
me and Charlie Casser were just putting that one eyeball on the stopwatch.
Did you run into Joe Thomas? He was there all week. I know he spent a lot of time on the field itself, but did you see Joe?
I didn't see Joe, no. I didn't see him out and about. I think he showed up on Friday maybe, and I think that's when he started on the broadcast. So unfortunately, no, I didn't run into Joe Thomas anywhere, but it is exciting to see him kind of embracing that TV personality. And I hope he kind of gets some consideration for that Monday night booth. I don't know that he would get it, but I hope he gets some consideration for it.
What was the buzz about Witten deciding that he wanted to go back and play football?
I mean, it was just, you know, where did this come from? It's one of those things, you know, a lot of times with stories like this, that there's a little bit of a build, and, you know, you start to hear here and there, hey, this could happen, and all of a sudden this just kind of happened, and it was completely unexpected. Nobody really saw it coming. So I think most people are happy to have him out of that Monday night booth. But there was some surprise that he's going back.
Adam Schefter tweeted out yesterday, three teams have shown most interest in wide receiver Antonio Brown: the Raiders, the Redskins, and the Titans. Are we closing the door on that being a possibility for the Browns?
I just think it would take way too much for that to happen. If you're the Steelers, you know, you don't want to have to face Antonio Brown twice a year, especially on a team that's trying to take your spot. Obviously, they didn't win the AFC North this year, but they've normally been at the top of that division. You don't want to give Antonio Brown to a team that's, you know, coming to take your throne, really, and coming to be the next kind of king of the AFC North for a long time. That's what the Browns want to do. I think the cost for the Browns would be way just through the roof compared to what it would take for, say, the Titans or the Raiders or the Redskins to get him.
No, I agree with you, and I think that's a very important element to the whole conversation. Like, I love that John Dorsey sat there and said, you know what, yeah, hey, Kevin Colbert, give me a call. Because that then set open the idea that, all right, the Browns are to a degree interested in a week that Kevin Colbert himself said, hey, trading the division it's a possibility if we get the most. But when this all comes down, the way I see it, Dan, is that someone's going to offer him two first or a first and a second, and then John Dorsey can just fall back on it and say, well, you know what? It's a second and a third was our asking price. It's what we tried to give, and somebody just beat us in price, and no one can really get upset by that.
Yeah, and again, I just think the Steelers, you know, having to face this guy twice a year, he's still so good, and to give him to a division rival, I just think, I don't think you can make that trade as a GM unless you're getting an absolute haul back and something the Browns wouldn't want to give up.
I'm going to throw you a curveball here, Dan, because I saw the Jeff Darlington interview yesterday, and there was a clip in there where Antonio Brown said, quote, "I don't even have to play football." What is your odds that Antonio Brown just decides Calvin Johnson style, I'm done at age 30?
I hate to say zero, but I don't buy that. I really don't buy that. I think that's Antonio Brown trying to take a little bit of the power back in this situation. You know, I'll give it, let's say, 5%, and even that feels high. I just think he's going to continue to play. I think he does love the game. I think he's just trying to control the situation a little bit because the Steelers have, you know, they have the power in this situation and where he gets to go. So I think he wants to send the message to teams that if it's not a place I like, maybe I'll sit out. I just don't know if I buy that, though.
I like that I got a generous 5% out of you there. I didn't even think I was going to get that, to be honest. I thought you might even just slam it down and say 2%, 1%. Like, I can't even believe you said it.
I don't even feel good about that 5%.
It's okay. You can walk it back at any point. Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com here on 92.3 The Fan. Check out his work. Good article on DK Metcalf, who I know fascinated a lot of Browns fans throughout this past week because the numbers are insane. You know, you do 27 bench presses at 225, the 1.6% body fat, and he also has the connection with the name just being as rare of air as it is. Great stuff and great catching up as always. Always appreciate the work you do, Dan. Thanks for taking a couple minutes, man.